Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I am Corey.
I'm Garrett.
And we are continuing our study in Mark chapter 1. Today we're in verses 9 through 11, and we looked at John the Baptist yesterday and his ministry, and he's talking about there's one that's coming after him that was mightier than him that will baptize him with the Holy Spirit. We're not going to read all the verses all the time, but today we've only got three verses, so I'm going to read them. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and a spirit like a dove descending upon him, and a voice came out of the heavens, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." So, just as John had said, in those days, in what days? In the days that the prophet like Elijah, John, was preparing the way for the king, the Messiah, the Christ. In those days, Jesus came to be baptized by John in the Jordan. So first question, Garrett, is if Jesus is sinless, why does he need to be baptized?
Yeah. There's obviously he's not having to wash away any sin, but he's leaving us an example. This is something that Matthew tells us. He was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, but that's the idea, is that he's giving us an example. He's showing us what we ought to do. And obviously there were people being baptized by John already, so it wouldn't have been something that was like super out of place in that environment. But this is an example that Jesus leaves for us, in that first of all, he did it. Second, he's going to command us that we do it as well, you know, at the end of the gospel. But that's the reason why.
And as we pointed out last time in Acts 2:38, that's the point that we received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to see when Jesus comes out of the water, that's the Spirit's going to descend upon him. So, second question, Garrett, we talked a lot about a couple of terms that I think you can see very well in these next two verses. In verse 10, what does it remind us of?
Yeah, we see our first sight idea in Mark. We saw the heavens. He saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. So everyone that was there, this crowd that of all the country of Judea that John has already there, get to see the Spirit descending upon Jesus. So there's already our first sight that points to Jesus being the Christ and him being the Messiah.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if all of the people got to see that, but the "he" there, in my translation, is capitalized as if it's Jesus that saw the heavens open. Maybe it was John that saw it. The Gospel of John would certainly point to the fact that at least John saw it. Mm-hmm. And if maybe John saw it, maybe others did as well. But John, the Gospel of John, tells us that John the Baptist, it was revealed to him that whoever you saw the Spirit descend on was the one. He knew Jesus because it was his cousin, you know, or kinfolk.
Yeah. He's been preaching about him this whole time.
That's right. But he didn't know, I don't know that he knew that Jesus was the Messiah until this point, you know. And then there's this realization of that. And then in verse 11, so we've got C in verse 10. In verse 11, we've got another word that we've been pointed to. The word's not there, but the idea at least is there.
No, yeah. The two ideas we've been pointing out, obviously, is seeing what the miracles, but also hearing is the other sense by which we get to see that Jesus is the Christ. And so the thing that you hear is the voice coming out of the heavens where the Lord says, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." So you see the Spirit come down, you hear the Lord and his voice, and there's two signs already that Jesus is who he said he is, but there's the see and hear concepts that are already being introduced in Mark chapter 1 here.
Yeah, and if you're going to have a someone to testify about who you are, a voice from heaven of God the Father would certainly be the one that would say that. And he says a couple of things about him. First of all, he says that he is the Son of God. And I think when we usually think about that, we think about this meaning that he is God, or what's another way to put this? Maybe that he is Son of God means that, like, we think of it in a father-son kind of...
Deity Junior kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of deal. But the idea of being the Son of God is really a term that points to... maybe deity, but more than that, of royalty with him, because it's an idea that is used throughout the Bible. You know, sometimes it's talking about his deity when we say that term, Son of God, but most of the time it's like, you know, just talking about the king. So there's a lot of places that you can go to. I told you we're going to turn to Isaiah, but you can turn to Psalm 89 right quick. And in Psalm 89, you see this over and over in the Old Testament, this idea of son being associated with king. So in the Old Testament, David was the Son of God, and Saul was the Son of God, and Solomon was the Son of God. If you'll read in Psalm 89, starting about verse 19,
"Once you spoke in vision to your godly ones and said, 'I have given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen for my people. I have found David my servant, and with my holy oil I have anointed him, with whom my hand will be established. My arm also will strengthen him. The enemy will not deceive him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I shall crush his adversaries before him and strike those who hate him. My faithfulness and my loving kindness will be with him, and my name, his horn, will be exalted. I shall set his hand on the sea, and on his right hand on the rivers. He will cry to me, 'You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation.'"
Okay, so if God is his Father, then that makes him his
Son.
And earlier he said he's anointed. That word is Messiah.
Yeah.
You remember another time when David had the opportunity to kill Saul, and he called him the anointed of the Lord. Well, that word in the original language would be a derivative of Messiah. In the Greek translation, that would be Christ. Turn back over to Psalm chapter 2 is another one that shows this idea. Again, it's just a royalty. But this is important because we talked about the kingdom of God is what he's going to talk about here. And the how that Jesus is king over his kingdom is going to be pointed out in this. So read chapter 2 and verse 7, Psalm 2 and verse 7.
It says, "I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'"
Okay, so this is David writing about this. He is the king, but he is God's son. And, of course, Psalm 2 is going to be used to talk about Jesus as well. So, anyway, that's the idea here. So the first thing he says about him is that he is the Son of God. So he is the king. He is the anointed one. And then the second thing he says, "In you I am well pleased." Well, to go back to your comments about baptism, why was he well pleased with him? Because he was obedient.
Right.
In all things. And that's what setting that example. But again, in verse 10 and 11, you've got this idea of seeing and hearing. So what did you see? I saw what happened. The heavens opened. The Spirit descends. What did you hear? A voice from heaven saying, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." That would indicate this is not just a normal rabbi in Jesus. It would indicate that he is God the
There's
Son.
Something different and special whenever Jesus is baptized as opposed to everybody else that John had already been baptizing.
Yeah. So what manner of man is this? Who is this man?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's the Son of God. He's the anointed one. He's the Messiah. He is the one that is going to be proved to be who we've been looking for the last few centuries. So the baptism of Jesus teaches us a lot about, right off the bat here, again, Mark just kind of, all right, let's get into it. You know, no kind of lead up, but let's just get into it. And right off the bat, we're seeing and hearing that Jesus is the Messiah. And understanding that and then understanding what that means helps us understand what we, our response to him should be. So we hope that you'll continue to study along with us through the Gospel of Mark here on Scripture Spotlight. We hope you will dedicate 5 to 10 minutes every day to just sitting down and studying along with us as we go through and find out the message about Jesus and the Gospel of the Kingdom of God. And we hope that you'll tell others about that as well, whether you're driving to work, relaxing in the afternoon, getting ready for school, mowing the yard. You'll spend a little time with us every day studying from God's Word on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.